Good morning. Is this on? Anybody out there? Glad that you're here. I got to tell you. All right. I do my discovery class, and I used to do it in an hour and a half. And so if you see beads of sweat coming down my head, we had about 50 minutes this morning, and I just walked out. Billy was ready to cover for me, weren't you, Billy?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Billy, what's your job description?
Whatever you don't
want to
do.
Yeah. Whatever I don't want to do is Billy's job description. I want to say, I love this church. Do you love this church? Being out just 1 week, I felt lost not being with you guys last week. But we were able to worship online. Cheryl and I were able to, her on that end of the couch and me on that end of the couch. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But so let me ask you, why are you here this morning? I heard a lot of praise God's. Listen, which is good. Listen to what the Lord says in Psalm 94. The Lord is a God. That's not. Wait a minute. There we go. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Is that who we came to worship this morning? All right, let's pray. God, you are a great God. You are the only God. We lift high the name of Jesus. We pray that our hearts would please you this morning. We pray that our thoughts would please you, our words as we sing, as we worship. May it be about more than just us. May we be about more than just being consumers and trying to seek our own pleasure, but may we understand that we're here to extol you, to exalt you. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Everybody sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. I'm taking turns. What's up with that? I like it. There's a beautiful lady right there holding the songbook, and it reminds me of going to Waxahachie College, and they had this thing. Everybody would hold the book during the verse, and then during the chorus, they'd lay the book down so they could clap. And oh my goodness, when they all started clapping, it was loud. Wow, was it ever joyful? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing this verse, and then on the chorus, put your hands together. Let's let God have it, amen? And by the way, praise looks good on you, sister. Here we go. Where's that verse at? And this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my righteousness, nothing but
hallelujah, hallelujah. out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God, and I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You stepped into my Egypt, and you took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God, and I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the glory of your love. You stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God, and I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have drawn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're the God. Sing that again. You stepped into my Egypt, but there's this line in there that says death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. Because of the great love of Jesus Christ, today we come here to worship by the grace of God, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ in his resurrection, and we know that sin and death are defeated foes. So this morning we sing as a redeemed people that death is swallowed up by the fury of the love of God. And sin is also covered by the blood of Jesus. So this morning, approach the throne of God boldly. Know that you are loved and forgiven people. You stepped
into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God, and I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. That you stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, and you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God, and I'll sing all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. Amen. Yeah. Well, kids, are y'all ready for the children's sermon? Because it is time. By a mosquito. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think about it when it happens?
It hurts.
It hurts.
Itches.
You don't like it, do you? It's not fun.
Well, I have something that will prevent you from getting bit by mosquitoes, and it works. This repels the mosquitoes. You'd spray it on, and then you could go on your walk in the woods, and you wouldn't be bitten by mosquitoes. But I thought of something that's worse than getting mosquito bite, and that's our sins. We go through life, and we sin, and I got to thinking, what can prevent us from sinning? What can give us some protection against a sin? What's your thoughts? God and Jesus? I was thinking our Bible would be a very good thing to prevent us from sinning. Don't you think it'd be foolish if I had my bug repellent, but I didn't put it on? I just went out to all the mosquitoes and let them eat me up? That wouldn't be too smart of me. And I don't think it's any smarter for us to go out, even though we have our Bibles and we go out into our day and we haven't put up any protection for ourselves and to help us not sin during the day. Yes, and so I want to read to you out of Psalms 119. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's saying that to hide God's word right in your heart, to take the words right from the Bible and place them right in your heart. And it says to place it in your heart. So just like you put the bug spray on your body to prevent the mosquitoes from biting you, you put God's word in your heart. It's got to be right there for you to get it. And for easy carrying, honey. And so to put God right in your heart, to memorize the Bible passages and put them right in your heart. And then it's got to be in your heart, not in mom's heart, not in grandma's heart, not in dad's heart, not in your Sunday school teacher's heart. You need those words right in your heart to help you be with your family and not sin, to help you go out into the world and not sin. Those verses will help you prevent you from sinning. I have one more question. The mosquito repellent that you put on last year, is that good this year? No. How about if you put it on yesterday? Is it any good today? No. And that same is true with the Word of God. You need it every single day. You need to be in the Bible and read it and put those words right in your heart so that you make it a part of your life and take it with you wherever you go. Let's bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the Bible to read and memorize. Help us store your words of wisdom in our heart and use them in our daily lives. In your most holy Son's name I pray. Amen. All right.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see you. There was a young man in the early service that knew everything there was to know about mosquitoes. I'm just saying. So he's coming to my house later on this afternoon to help me try to get rid of mine. Just welcome. Great to have you with us this morning. For you worshiping online, God bless you. I pray you feel the Lord's presence in your home. You know, we've been working hard to try to get our online service to be as welcoming as possible. You've probably noticed we've added some cameras to give some different views. We've enhanced the sound. Had some really good feedback from someone this morning that gave us a thumbs up on that. So you're important to us, and we're trying to make your worship experience at home as good as it can possibly be. If you want to register your attendance, you can do that through our app. Wanted to remind you that we have a prayer time tomorrow at noon here in the sanctuary. We had a really sweet time last Monday, so please join us for that. And I sent out an email this past week about a marriage event that's taking place this Friday night. I believe the start time is at 6:30. It's something that Right Now Media is putting on, and they're streaming that at that time. And we're encouraging couples, maybe several couples, to walk through that together. If you would like to participate in that, Carlene's offering childcare for that. Just contact her. And also, if you can't view that this Friday night and would like to do that at some point in the future, you can go ahead and sign up, and I think it's $20 a person, and then they'll email you a link that'll be live for the next 30 days. So take advantage of that marriage event this Friday night. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Before I pray, I want to encourage you just to position yourself in such a way that you know that the Lord's here. And that may consist of putting aside the thoughts of last week, the thoughts of this afternoon, the thoughts of things that are coming up this coming week. You know, Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." And for me, sometimes I just have to be still. I have to be quiet in front of him, before him. So just connect with him. And whatever's in your heart, I encourage you to express that to him. If it's praise and adoration, express that to him. If there are needs there that you need to present to him, just go ahead and pour your heart out to him. He so longs for that from us. So take a little time and spend some time with the Lord, and I'll pray. Father, I have no idea why silence is just so awkward for us. But Lord, I just thank you for opportunities that we can be quiet before you. And help us to build those times into our schedule. Father, you love for us to pour our hearts out to you, and those things are significant, but what's even more significant than that is what you say to us. And Lord, we may just need to be still before you in order to understand what you want to communicate to us. Oh, Father, I thank you for the way you love us. Father, I thank you for your grace that you lavished on us, you poured out on us. You didn't sprinkle a little bit our direction. Lord, you just gave us the whole dose. And Lord, I'm grateful for that. Grateful for your grace. Grateful for your goodness, Lord, You're always good. There's never been a second in all eternity where you have not been good. And I think maybe this morning some people need to know that you're good. Would you reveal your goodness to those who need to know that this morning? Would you reveal to them that they're not forgotten? Lord, your promise is you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. I think maybe somebody this morning, or maybe several somebodies, need to know that that's a promise from you. They will always be available. Father, I pray that you heighten our awareness of things in the spiritual realm. Lord, I'm reminding that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against our neighbor. It's not against our family member. The struggle is not against our coworker, the person that cuts us off in traffic. That person is not our enemy. We don't struggle against that. We struggle against the principalities and the rulers in the heavenly realms. And so, Lord, would you just make us keen to what the enemy's up to? Lord, I pray against what he has designed against this fellowship. The people who call Wiley Methodist home, Lord, I pray against his schemes, his activities. Lord, and we just sever those in Jesus' name. We break those in Jesus' name. Pray for your spirit to be prominent, your spirit to move in power. I pray for joy to be unleashed. Pray for hope to break out. I pray for peace to rest on us. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Come and rest on this fellowship. This day, the people in the room, the people at home, the people who may watch this service later on. Oh, Prince of Peace, do your work. Lord, as we continue to worship you, as we sit under the word, I just, oh God, just help us to dedicate this time completely to you. It's your time, Lord. You're the one we magnify. You're the one we honor. You're the one we adore. You inhabit our praises, God. Come rest with us as we praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to pray. Thank you for the opportunity to be still and be quiet before you. And Jesus, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, if you have an offering you'd like to bring forward, you can do that at this time, or you can give electronically. God bless you, church.
So yesterday I had boys' day out with my oldest son, Hunter, and we went to the Flipping Egg. Any Flipping Egg fans in here? And he loves their pancakes, and I ordered an omelet. And so they have this ghost pepper sauce there. And I said, yeah, bring me some of that. And I've had it before, and I just used just a little bit. And yesterday I was like, man, this is really good. So I poured the whole thing on there, and I just ate that omelet, and it was great. My mouth loved it, but you know, about an hour later, my stomach did not love it so much. And this fire began to burn inside of me. And, you know, I'm designed, right? My system was designed to let me know I'm too old to eat that hot and spicy food anymore. But this morning, I want you to know something, that you are designed to worship God. And in a similar way that ghost pepper sauce burned inside of me, the Holy Spirit of the living God can burn inside of your heart, because God designed us to be temples of the Holy Spirit of God. And so this morning, I pray that you know that God loves you and he's forgiven you. And so if you'll just turn to him, that you can feel the Holy Spirit of God burning inside of you. And he wants you to worship him. He designed you to experience his goodness inside of you. And he'll lead you in that process. So this morning, if you've never worshiped in that way, just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in that process. We're going to sing a new song to some of you today, Graves into Gardens. And we know that there's nothing better than that communion with the Holy Spirit. And I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. An empty man's praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. Then you came along, and you put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied right here in your love. Let's tell them. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Now I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Somebody parked a cement truck on the golf course and I can't stop looking at it. Is that the best we got? Let's do something special. Let's put a cement truck on the golf course. We're singing about something that this world can never understand. But we're not of this world, are we? Let's sing that Graves in the Garden. Let's go, Cody.
Well, good morning again. Again, as Billy said, I want to welcome our live stream audience. I'm glad that you're joining us this morning. Before I get started, let me kind of give you an update on the Hatcher World. Cheryl, she was feeling bad towards the end of last week a little bit and went and got tested for COVID on Saturday and came home around noon and had tested positive, and we've been separate parts of the house for probably 8 or 9 days now. And so it's not everybody in the world that a little after noon on Saturday I can call up and say, hey, you got a sermon in your pocket? But Marv Gregory is such a man. And he brought the word last week and brought it well, brother. Appreciate you. It is such an honor and blessing in a church. I remember when I first started pastoring, there was several years there in the summer, I would be gone about 5 weeks to getting some schooling and scrambling to find somebody to fill my pulpit. But man, now Marv and Billy and Larry, and we just lost Bob Carlin, Jim Reinbolt, and Robert Mills. I got a whole pack full now, and God has blessed us with some great men who can bring the word. So Cheryl is doing better. She had a pretty rough couple, two or three days, and she has started feeling better, and now it's a matter of mostly just weakness. She's just feeling kind of weak. I appreciate all the prayers, and many of you brought goodies to our house, and we turned away a bunch that were willing to bring more goodies, but there's only, you know, our refrigerator is only so big, I'm just saying. But, you know, when I know many of you have had COVID, had loved ones with COVID, some have lost loved ones with COVID, but, you know, when that diagnosis comes in, it gets serious. Get serious. And I appreciate the prayers from my lovely wife. So John chapter 13 is where we are today. John chapter 13. If you are, before I read the word, I also wanted to also welcome our guests. I'm sorry I got sidetracked there, but if you are our guest this morning, please know that we like you being here. We like you being here. We want to hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guests on it with a blue stripe, and would love for you to fill that out if you don't mind doing that, and I will meet you at the end of the foyer with a free gift. At the end of the service, we'd love to meet you. You know, I hope, I've heard this from people that have visited. I would hope that you find this a friendly and a place that you can feel God's Spirit in this place. That blesses me when I hear that. John 13, beginning in verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. That sets the stage for this moment. So He got up from the meal, He took off His outer clothing and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Verse 12, when He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place, and He said this, Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet, as I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you. We are seeking you, and we trust that you are here. Speak to us now in power and in your authority. And change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series today, Connecting with God. Connecting with God. As I've said each week, this is a teaching series where the goal is to teach us how to connect with God on a deeper level. We're all wired differently, and we have different ways that we seem to have this connection with God. Today's message is the servant's heart. The servant's heart. Now, when I hear the word servant's heart, I think of positive things, and we'll talk about more about that in just a moment. It brings positive message to me. Not everyone feels quite that way. There is a Christian comedian. Anybody know Tim Hawkins? My oldest daughter, Kirby, actually put me onto this video today. Let's see what Tim Hawkins has to say about it.
If you're not a Christian here, I mean, that's cool. We're glad you're here. But Christians, they use language sometimes and like code. It's like it doesn't mean what we're saying. We have this phrase, servant's heart. You ever hear that phrase? Servant's heart. I hear that all the time. Tim, you got a servant's heart, dude. You have got a servant's heart. See, I hate it when somebody says I got a servant's heart. It means they want me to start stacking chairs. You know. Servant's heart means you're a pushover and a loser. That's what servant's heart means.
Okay, I'm going to agree to disagree with Tim Hawkins. You are not a loser and a pushover if you have a servant's heart. But this, I asked in the early service, towards the end of the service, I asked if anybody identified with a servant's heart, and not a single hand went up in the place. And somebody said, "We're afraid you're going to want us to stack chairs." We do have some right after the service. All right, the servant's heart. So we've talked about some different ways we connect with God. Today's message, the servant's heart. The first is the servant's heart feels closest to God when they are, believe it or not, serving others. But here's the rest of that. When they're serving others on behalf of Christ, makes a difference. This person, it's not like they don't connect with God in any other way. They still read their Bible, and they still pray, and they worship, but they feel most connected to God through service. Many in this room, many in our church, I see this gift in them. Christian service to the person with the servant's heart, Christian service is literally like breath to them. They live for it. They love it. And I see that in so many. To serve someone in the name of Christ is to love God Himself. That's when you have a servant's heart, that's who you are. Secondly, servant's heart is modeled by Christ Himself. Modeled by Christ Himself. This passage that we read today, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, he said a few things that set the stage for this moment, and I want to kind of unpack that a little bit. First, he said he knew His power source. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power. So He knew where His power came from. Secondly, He knew whose He was. Jesus knew that He had come from God. He was God's. He was God in flesh. He was Emmanuel, God in flesh. So He knew that He was had the power of the Father. He knew that He had come from the Father. And then finally, He knew His promised future. Jesus knew not only that He had the power, He not only knew that He had come from God, but He also knew that He was returning to God. He knew His future. So that set the stage for this moment where He washed the disciples' feet. And as I think about that Jesus modeled the servant's heart, think about any story. Just pick a story, anything that you know from God's Word that Jesus did, and none of it was self-centered. It was always other-centered. The only thing, and I mentioned this in the early service, the only thing that came to my mind was that He did for Himself was to rest. He would rest because he was in this earthly body that got tired, and he needed physically to rest. And so He did that to replenish Himself for the purpose of serving others. Everything that He did was to serve others. Now, I remember also the story, you can find it in John 21, where Peter and the other disciples, this is after the resurrection, and we know Peter had denied Jesus three times, and then they find that he's been resurrected, and he greets them. The first time he greeted them, he said, "Peace be with you." So even that was a service to his disciples, to embrace them, even though Peter had denied him and the others had deserted him. But then they find Jesus on the beach. They're out fishing. They're coming into the beach, and they find Jesus cooking breakfast for them. And He asks the famous passage there where we know in John 21 where He asked Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Now, it's a question with a command attached to it. First of all, do you love me? It doesn't say, do you love my sheep? Says, do you love me? And then he goes on to say, well, if you love me, Peter says, yeah, you know, of course, God, Jesus, you know I love you. And he says, well, if you love me, then the fruit of that, the how you show that, feed my sheep. Jesus himself modeled this for us. And that leads me into the third point. The servant's heart emulates the heart of Christ through servanthood. Emulates the heart of Christ through servanthood. Listen to these words from Jesus himself, Matthew 20. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. You want to be great in the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying? Then serve. Take the spotlight off of yourself and put it on someone else. Now, and this, I'm not trying to be tacky or anything, but we live in a self-absorbed culture, don't we? And I know that, if you struggle with depression, please do not receive this as condemnation, because I know that there are medical things that can cause things like that and all. But many times, we're depressed because we're focused on ourselves. A lot of times to tell people, just like, start serving somebody, start doing something for somebody else, and see if that depression will lift. Perhaps it will. Maybe it's something medical. Perhaps you need to see a physician about some of that stuff. But perhaps we're just self-absorbed. Jesus said, "You want to be great? Serve. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then, so we see in this passage from today, John 13, where Jesus, he said, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So he didn't wash the disciples' feet just because they were dirty. He washed the disciples' feet to make a point. He was illustrating this heart of servanthood. And guess what? Now, I'm sure the disciples' feet were dirty. I mean, I'm sure they were wearing sandals, walking in the dirt and sweating, and I'm sure it was nasty. But the thing is, Jesus washed their feet. Guess what? Their feet's going to be dirty again. So it was more than a physical thing. He was teaching this heart of servanthood. I see it in so many people in our church, Wiley United Methodist. I see that heart in so many people. Now, I mentioned a couple of names in the first service, and I'm going to do that again. I want you to know, I see it in so many of you, so many that are even online, so many that aren't even here today in our church. I see it over and over and over, the examples in our church. But there's two names I wanted to mention that are no longer with us here. The first one is John King. You remember John King, if you've been here a while? John was the servant of servants. I mean, the very first week I was a pastor here, I had a, you know, you, I'm just trying to be faithful to the ministry and faithful to this church and my wife and so on and so forth. I had a solid wooden door, and sometimes people want to talk privately with the pastor. And I said, man, I don't want a solid wooden door on my office. I want a window just for accountability. And so I just called John. Hey, John, can you cut a window in this door? I need a window in this door. And in 2 days, I had a window in the door. John just installed. I mean, he's just that kind of guy. John has got married, and they moved to be closer, somewhere in the Metroplex, closer to grandchildren. I actually reached out to John last week, and tried to touch base with him, see how things were going, but I hadn't heard back from him. He may have changed his number, but John was a servant of servants, and like so many of you. The other name that comes to my mind is Jesse Edmondson. Jesse Edmondson, and some of you didn't get the blessing of knowing Jesse, but Jesse passed away a few years ago, and his mother was one of our 29 charter members in 1904 of Wiley Methodist Church, when this was a little one-room Little House on the Prairie kind of schoolhouse. Shared the school. The church shared the school, the building with the school of Wiley Schools. And his mom was one of the charter members. And Jesse told stories about climbing up in the rafters of that church and everything. Of course, in that time, he was in his early 80s, and I just couldn't picture it, but he said he did it. But Jesse was one of those guys that, I mean, he passed away. I think he was in his early 80s, and I can remember houses that we were building or remodeling and all, and he would build our cabinets. He built this altar table. He helped Arliss build the sound booth back there. I remember Jesse hanging sheetrock in his late 70s and building cabinets for the houses that we built. Jesse was built the cabinets up in the youth room. I mean, Jesse was one of those guys that I was building I kind of dabble with woodworking. I'm not an artist like he was, but I remember I was building a porch swing and I needed a bandsaw and I didn't have a bandsaw. I said, Jesse, can I come over and borrow your bandsaw? He said, yeah, come on over. And he saw me kind of, I was kind of awkwardly trying, and he's like, and he started doing his thing and all. he didn't want some novice messing up his bandsaw, I guess. Man, that's a servant's heart. People like that, and so I can say so many of you. I don't want to name names that are here because I'd leave somebody out, but they're scattered everywhere. They're scattered everywhere. And examples of servant's heart coming out of this church are everywhere. Some of you weren't here 20 years ago when we did it, but 18 probably years ago when we built Granny's house. But Granny was about 4 foot nothing and lived in a place that was falling in on her, and we built her a house out of this church. That's forever be one of my greatest memories in ministry. It's one of the first things our church did was built her a house. And Granny came the morning. So many built the house, people that couldn't do the build. And Jesse, and I remember I got a picture of Pete Martin back there. Of course, I think he was eating a sandwich, sitting down eating a sandwich. When Pete, I got a picture of you. I'll show you. But we built Granny's house, and many of you that couldn't do the building picked up, some of our little kids picked up scrap lumber and threw it away, and others brought lunch to us and drinks to us, and some donated financially. And when we brought Granny out here for the dedication, and she was a little short lady, and she had a ball cap on. I don't know if anybody remembers. She was sitting right over there with Mark Hewitt from Love and Care, who introduced us to her. And we brought Granny up, and she'd pull that ball cap down. She was a kind of shy lady, and she'd pull that ball cap down, trying to become invisible. And we presented her with a key and prayed over, and I asked the congregation, if you were involved in any way in helping Granny's house, stand up, and just pretty much the whole church stood up. That's the servant's heart. Turkey Tuesday, passing out turkeys. We did 350 turkeys last year, and to us, you know, it's just a turkey, but to other people, it's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ. And the food pantry and Houses for Healing is another example. I'll come back to that in just a second. Our Operation Christmas Child, the shoe boxes. You see some shoe boxes underneath our crosses on the wall. Those are just a small sampling of our, and we've distributed thousands of shoe boxes in the last 3 years or so out of our church. And that may sound like to us, it's just a little stupid shoebox with a few little trinkets in there. No, it's Christ. It's Christ. People, tell me his name. Kalula? Yeah. Kalulu. Came here, and he's in his mid-30s or so now. When he was a little boy, he got a shoebox. Had never heard the gospel. Never used, he shared a toothbrush with his family. How would you like to do that? His whole life, he's like 9 years old. He never had a toothbrush. Didn't have a pencil. He's getting all these things in his shoebox, and he also got the gospel in there. Came to know Christ. He's now out sharing Christ with people from a shoebox. Houses for Healing, another tremendous ministry that we do, and so many of you helped build the house. So many of you are helping operate the house now. Things that we don't know about, many of you don't even know about. We have people that greet our new, when we have new guests that come, they greet them. People that clean the house, people that bring food, people that provide rides, we give them a Bible, they pray over them. Billy led one lady to the Lord 2 weeks before she passed away from cancer while she was in our house. We got an opportunity to baptize her. Jesus. It's not about a shoebox. It's about Jesus. It's not about food. It's Jesus. It's not about dirty feet. It's Jesus. Servant's heart. Brian Massey, who started the Houses for Healing, wrote me a note, and I meant to bring it today, and I left it at the house. But he basically, this was a few months ago, and he said, I was doing my daily devotional, and he said, Wiley Methodist came to my mind. And he said, and here's a summarize what he said. He said, some people are talkers and some people are doers. Wiley Methodist is doers. And he said, I thank God for Wiley Methodist Church. We're making an impact in the kingdom. And I don't say that in a bragging way. It's humbling to be used by Christ to spread his word and his love through service. We think that we're just passing, think it's just a turkey. I tell people, if all we're doing is passing out turkeys, that's good for one meal. And guess what? The next day, maybe even later that day, they're going to be hungry again. If that's all we're doing, we're wasting our time. It's not important. Even though physical needs are important, it's not enough to let it stop there. Okay, that leads me to the fourth thing I want to share. Servant's heart. We need to hear this. People that kind of fit, if this is how you connect with God very intimately, this is important. So the servant's heart can be vulnerable to focusing too much on temporary physical needs rather than eternal reward. Can be vulnerable to focusing too much on temporary physical needs rather than eternal reward. These are the words of Christ, Mark 8. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? If all we're about is a shoebox, if that's it, we've fallen short. Jesus didn't wash, as I said, he didn't wash the disciples' feet because their feet were dirty. He washed their disciples' feet to demonstrate this spirit, this heart of servanthood. And then he didn't stop there. He not only demonstrated it, but he said, do that. And the thing about the people that were designated to wash feet were the lowest of the low. I mean, they were the lowest house servant. They weren't up the rung at all. I mean, they were the lowest. Like, that's a nasty job, washing people's feet. So if you're the lowest house servant, that's going to be your job. Jesus took on the lowest servant role, and he says, do that. Take your eyes off of yourself and love people on my behalf. We can never be just about building houses or feeding the hungry. If we offer the love of Christ, that is eternal. It's eternal. I mean, it is a blessing to be able to do that. To be, sometimes I just like, Lord, why would you use an old knucklehead like me to do anything? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. He doesn't need us. He loves us. There are several variations of this story, but I tried to get the one that I felt like was the most accurate of this story. But this is documented in 1980. Vandals broke off the hands of a statue of Jesus at Christ the King Catholic Church in San Diego, California. They had a statue, big statue out front. And vandals broke the hands off. Money was offered to repair the statue, to give Jesus back hands. But instead, the pastor in the church decided to leave it as is and place a plaque at the base that reads, there it is, I have no hands but yours. Like I said, Jesus, he doesn't need us, but he blesses us with the opportunity to love on his behalf, to serve on his behalf. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves and love on his behalf, because Christ has no hands but ours. I love that imagery. The servant's heart. Really, many of us are really wired deeply to connect with God in that way, but in truth be known, we all need to be servants. Even if that's not the number one way we connect with God, we all need to be servants. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, we are humbled that you would even give us the privilege to serve others in your name. You could do that in so many different ways that robs us of that blessing, but you've chosen to let us be a part of loving your people. Teach us, oh God, teach us how to love like you love. Teach us how to serve the way you serve. You are a good and gracious, faithful God. Thank you that the ultimate example of servanthood was when you went to a cross. Help us do as you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close today, the altar's open. I will be at the end of the foyer and would love to greet our guests. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about in that way, please don't leave this place without talking to me. Rise if you're able.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond the galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
Hearing Cody sing this morning. Why don't you sing some more?
Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, well, I will call your name. By night, God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, you're holy, the universe declares your majesty, you are holy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the Lord.
Chairs that I need stacked and ready to lay after this service today. Jesus said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Christ has no hands but ours. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.